This is Shalom Wise giving a shir at the Bayit. It's starting on Yud Beis Amud Beis here. Okay, so the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, Amar Rava Bar Chinana Saba Mishmei the Rav. So he says the name of Rav Kol Hashana Kula. It's the entire year Adam Isval Hakel Kaddish. So we say Hakel Kaddish in the third bracha, and Melech Yitzdako Mishpat in that bracha. So the exception is during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva that we change the way we end those brachas. Shemisbal haMelech Hakadosh vaMelech haMishpat. So we change the emphasis on Melech. So we exchange Hakel Hakadosh for Melech Hakadosh and Melech haMishpat. We really talk about Malchus the whole year, but we kind of delete some words from that bracha in order to emphasize the Malchus. Okay. He says that even if you said the Hakel Kaddish during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, that you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. So this clearly implies that the previous Tana holds that, like we hold Halacha, that if you say the wrong ending during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, then you do have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so and now he's going to bring a pasuk to show you that. Really, Hakel HaKadosh really should be appropriate even during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And he's actually going to bring a pasuk that we say during the special Shemoneh Esrei Yom Noraim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Shenemar Vayikba Hashem Tzvakas V'Mishpat. So Hashem Tzvakas raised himself through justice. Hakel HaKadosh Nikdash B'Tzdaka. And the holy God is sanctified through righteousness. So the point is, though. So here's where he shows that Hakel Kaddish is appropriate. It's Amos Ivig Hashem Tzvakas V'Mishpat. So when is that appropriate? There's a certain time of year that description of Hashem is appropriate. This idea that Hashem is raised up, that somehow there's this heightened sense of God's elevation, that Hashem is raised through Mishpat, through judgment. Eliyosarim Shemir Shoshana V'Yam V'Kippurim. So those are the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. V'Kamar Hakel Kaddish. And the pasuk still uses the terminology of Hakel HaKadosh, despite the fact that the description of God in that pasuk implies that we're talking about the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So we see Hakel HaKadosh is appropriate for Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So that's why Rabbi Elazar says, you know what, even if you said Hakel HaKadosh in Aseres Yemei Teshuva, no need to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so my Havalah, the Gemara now wants to know, what's the final word on this issue? Do we hold like the first Tana? Do we hold that you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you said Hakel Kaddish during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, or you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei? So Rav Yosef, Hakel Kaddish Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. He says, you know what, Hakel Kaddish Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat work for Aseres Yemei Teshuva too. It's fine. Rav Omar, and Rav says, no, Hamelech Kaddish Melech Mishpat. It has to be Hamelech Kaddish and Hamelech Mishpat. Which is interesting, though, because at the end of the day, even though Rabbis, you know, you might infer from Rabbis' language that both are equally essential, Hamelech Kaddish and Hamelech Mishpat. That's not the way we actually hold halacha, that you don't, we say that you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Right. So, but from the language of the Gemara, you might infer the opposite, but obviously the poskim decided that that's not the way you should read the Gemara. Okay. Okay, so let's continue to Tudas. So we keep on seeing the same rabbi. So he says the name of Rav as follows. So we get into some Agadita here. It's sort of Agadita anyway. So he says, anyone who does not seek out mercy for his friend, whoever has the possibility of seeking mercy for his friend, and he doesn't use that opportunity, he's called a sinner. Like it says, Gam anochi chalilali mechatol laHashem. It would be, you know, chas v'shalom that I would sin against God mechdol lehisbalel badchem, to withhold from davening for you. Okay. So there we see that there's something wrong with that. It's the chatol laHashem we're focusing on, right? That it's called a chait to withhold from davening for somebody when we have an opportunity to daven for people. Amarava, in Tamil Chacham Hu. Now, there's an additional requirement. So, for anybody that we see That they require rachamim, and we have an opportunity to ask rachamim. We have to utilize that opportunity. If we don't utilize that opportunity, we have this pasuk over here that comes against us. It says chatola Hashem, that that's the consequences. But even more so, if the person who needs rachamim is a talmid chacham, then it's an even additional requirement. If he needs rachamim, sharach shiach latzma alav, then one has to make himself sick over the fact that the talmid chacham requires rachamim. So now my time. The Gemara wants to know, what's your source that you have to get sick when a Talmid Chacham needs mercy? If you say it's because it says in the Pasuk, Ve'in chola mikem alai, there's no one from you who is sick about me. V'gola esazni, and is kind of listening to me. So the context here is Shaul HaMelech, and he's complaining that the people aren't getting sick over his distresses, right? So you might want to cite this as a pasuk to say, since Shaul HaMelech is saying, well, you know, you should be getting sick over my misfortunes, so therefore we see from here that you're supposed to get sick over the misfortunes of a Talmid Chacham. I guess we're assuming that the Shaul is a Talmid Chacham. Okay. Fine. The problem is that maybe in addition to being Talmid Chacham, he also happened to be a king. So maybe there, that only tells me that you have to get sick when a king is in need of rachamim. But how do I know that just anyone who happens just to be Talmid Chacham, but he's not a king? And the Melech Shani is a different source. Pasuk. It says, "Vani b'chalosam levushi sak." That this is David HaMelech. He's saying, when my enemies got sick, I used to put on sackcloth. And the particular enemies he's talking about are actually Talmidei Chacham. He's talking about Doeg HaAdomi and Achitofel, who, on the one hand, Doeg HaAdomi went ahead and slayed the whole city of Nov, so that wasn't so good. And Achitofel went and joined the Avshalom rebellion, so also not so good. But on the flip side, they were both Talmidei Chachamim. So we see, though, David HaMelech, he's talking about getting sick over these Talmidei Chachamim when they were in distress. Okay, so Gemara continues. V'am Rabba Bar Chinana v'sav v'shmid Rav kolos adav dvar avera u'mispayish bo. So whoever does an avera and he's embarrassed over it, mochlan lo kol v'nosav. So that feeling of embarrassment provides atonement for all his averas. Shneimer, like it says, lema'an tizkiri, in order that you remember, v'avosh, and you will be embarrassed, v'lo yach od pischon peh, and you will not have any more opening of the mouth, v'mtei kli masach, because of your shame, v'chapilach, when I atone for you, l'chol asher asis, for whatever you've done. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. So here Hashem is kind of metaphorically addressing Klal Yisrael. It's the second person singular female, right? So God is addressing Klal Yisrael as as a woman, as though, right? And he is referring to how Klal Yisrael, if they feel through the shame, the different kinds of shame we have discussing over here, we have vavosht and klimasech, both lashons of embarrassment, and there's kapara through that, right? So we see that shame provides kapara. Okay, so the problem with that source is Dilmut Sibur Shani. Maybe if the public is shamed, then that's a better kapara than if a private person is shamed. Dilmut Yach, so a different source. Yemer Shmuel HaShol. So Shmuel's at the Shol. This is when we have that special episode where you have Shmuel raised from the dead by the witch. So Shmuel says to Shol, Lama Har Gastani, why did you agitate me, Lahalosa, see to bring me up? Yamar Shaul, Tsarli Mod, so I'm in very much pain. Uplishtim Nechamim Bi, and the Plishtim are fighting against me. Vashem Sarlai, and Hashem has turned away from me. Vilanani doesn't answer me. Od, Gambi Yad Nevi'im, so he doesn't answer me through the Nevi'im. Gamba Chalamas, he doesn't answer me through my dreams. Vakanalach, so I called to you, to Shmuel, that's why I brought you up through this witch here, right? Lehodieni, Ma'aseh, to tell me what to do. So, the Gemara is actually going to make an inference from absence. Because we have all these different sort of sources that Shaul feels like he's not being answered through. He's not answered by Nevi'im or Chalomos. So Ilu Irum Betumim Lo Kamar. So wait a second. For the problem is, why doesn't he mention that Irum Betumim hasn't said anything to him? So the answer is, Mishum Dekatli Novir Kohanim. He actually didn't ask the Irum Betumim. He didn't see if the Kohen Gadol could try to give him an answer from God through the Irum Betumim. He was embarrassed to go to the Kohen Gadol because he kind of made that mistake of kind of slaying the whole city of Nov when they gave refuge to David and his his band of followers, right, when they were on the run from Shaul. This is the stage where you see Shaul is embarrassed. He's embarrassed over the fact that he killed the city of Nob. Now, so how do you know that this embarrassment prior to Kampara and Mitshamai from heaven? Shanam, like it says, so tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. So the plain meaning of this is just that you're going to be dead, just like I'm dead, right? But more than this, we're trying to infer from here. Not just you're going to be dead like me, but also you're going to be on the same madrega with me in Shemayim. So we see that Shaul got a kapara because he was embarrassed over his killing the city of Nob. Okay. So now the rabbis have a different source for the same idea, again, that embarrassment can provide a kapara. It says, they're not going to provide a new source of embarrassment, but they're going to show a different source that Shaul had a kapara, right? It says, V'okanem l'Hashem b'givat Shaul. So they're going to be killed before Hashem in Givat Shaul, Bechir Hashem, right? The chosen one of Hashem. So this is the whole episode with the Givonim. They got kind of bloodthirsty and demanded seven males from the house of Shaul because they came hard down on luck as a result of this whole episode with Nov. They used to get their parnasa from the city of Nov, and then they fell on hard times when Nov was wiped out. And then God decreed a famine on Israel as a result. And then the kapara was that they had to listen to the Givonim's demands for seven people from Shaul's house to be killed. Okay, so we're interpreting this pasuk kind of interestingly. The pasuk pshat is Bechir Hashem is also something being said by the Givonim. But we're saying that actually doesn't make so much sense, because why would they describe him so positively when they're seeking, you know, they're having this bloodthirsty demand, right? So you get to Sabaskov Amar Bechir Hashem. So really it's not the Givonim who said the words Bechir Hashem. Rather, until that point in the pasuk, the Givonim are talking. And then Agbaskol is saying that last part, Bechir Hashem, so the fact that God is calling him Bechir Hashem shows that he had a kapara. Okay. Amar Rebbe Bahu ben Zutarti, Amar Rebbe Yehuda bar Zvida. So they it says as follows: Bikshu lekvar parshas Balak b'kriyas Shema. So they wanted the Chachamim were thinking about making Tefillah significantly longer. They're going to add the whole episode of the Balak into Kriyas Shema. So why did they in fact put Parshas Balak in Birchas Kriyas Shema or inside Kriyas Shema? Mishum Tarach Tzibur. It would be a pain for the Tzibur to have to read through that and make davening a lot longer. Now, the Gemara wants to know exactly why. What's the point of putting in Parshas Balak? What do we gain by having it inside davening? My time is, what's the reason for having it there? If it's because it says in Parshas Balak, Kel Motzim Mitzrayim, it says pasuk that talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, that God in when the Balak gives many sort of brachas to call Yisrael. So one of the things he says, God took them out from Mitzrayim. So, Lema Parshas Ribbis, or Parshas Mishkolos, you have these shorter parshios, which wouldn't be so much of a Tirch Din Tzibur, and they also talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, the parsha which says don't take interest from a fellow Jew, or the parsha which talks about having honest weights and measures, also talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So they also have Dichsev Behen Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ela Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. So there has to be a different reason besides Yitzias Mitzrayim why the Chachamim were thinking about inserting Parshas Balak. It says, it says the following pasuk: Kara, he crouched; Shachav, he lay down; Kari, like a lion; Ukilavin, like a lioness; be commander, who will wake him up? This description of Klal Yisrael, and we wanted to insert that. And so Rashi says, why do we care? What do we know all this stuff about lions? Because it's like B'shach B'chov Kamecha. It has this sort of, it's like Kriyas Shema. It has that sort of analogy to Kriyas Shema. Just like Kriyas Shema talks about the lying down and the waking up. So we talk about these lions lying down and waking up. And it's also the fact, you know, obviously, the lions, not so many creatures are going to disturb them, right? They can probably rest in peace pretty well. Okay. V'leimai B'suk V'sulo. So the problem is as follows. Okay, so if we're really excited about having this particular pasuk about lions and lionesses sleeping, so why is it that we say, okay, we would have loved to put Parshas Balak in, but you know what, it's just too much. Why don't we just put in that pasuk about the lion and the lioness, and then we'll leave out the rest of the parsha, and then everyone will be happy. We won't have a long thing, and we'll still get to talk about the sleeping lions. So the answer is, Gemiri, so we have a tradition, Kol Parsha, the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, where any parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu sort of divided up what the parsha is, the lo paska Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskin. So we only set the parameters of what a parsha is based on what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and we don't kind of create our own interruptions. So I mean, I assume this means a parsha psucha stuma, but I think there's a fairly large one of those kinds of parshios in Balak, and probably we wanted to kind of throw in the whole thing. Yeah. So that's the issue over here. We probably would have wanted to throw in that whole huge section. And so basically, where there's no break in the Sefer Torah, so that we can't really create new interruptions. Okay. Parshas Tzitzis Mebei Makavua. So now the question is, why is Parshas Tzitzis in there? So what's the point of it? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, b'shem sheyesh ba chamisha dvarim. So there's five things in Parshas Tzitzis. So Mitzvah Tzitzis, first of all, obviously, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's all mitzvahs. You also have the Yoke of Mitzvahs in there, Vadas Minim. The opinion against is that there's a few things that it's going against. It's opposed to the Das, meaning the Das, the heretical opinions. Here are Vera and lustful thoughts. But here are Vodazar and also idolatrous thoughts. Okay, so Bishlam Hani class, Mefarshan. So we understand the first three. So it says Ol Mitzis. How do we know where we see Ol Mitzis in Parsha Tzitzis? It says Echsiv Urisimel. So you'll look at the Tzitzis and Zchartem is Kol Mitzis Hashem, and through that you'll remember all the Mitzis Hashem. So it's talking about all the Mitzis Hashem. So there we see Ol Mitzis. Okay, Tzitzis Echsiv Vasulahem Tzitzis. So that's obvious that's in the Parsha. Yitzis Mitzrayim Echsiv Asher Hotzeisi. Eladas minim here aveirav here avodazar minolon. So how do we know these other things? Where do you see them in Vayomer? It says the Tanya achari levavchem zum minus. So after your heart, this refers to minus. V'chein hu omer, and there's a pasuk which also uses this lashon of lev. So this is how we're going to prove that lev refers to minus. Like it says, amr nava belibo in elokim. So so the fool says in his heart there is no God. So, I mean, this language would imply that it's talking about atheism. But interestingly enough, Rashi has a totally different reading of what minus is. He says people who mess up the reasons of the Torah and make sort of mistaken interpretations of the Torah. So maybe Rashi just didn't have this part of his text. It's just interesting. There's a really big discrepancy. Gemara just seems to be straight up atheism, not sort of mistaken interpretations. Okay. And v'chenu omer. Okay, fine. Okay, achrei nechem. So then the next thing we say, achrei nechem. What is after your eyes? It means zahir avera. So that's lustful thoughts. Shneimer it says v'gam reshim shen aviv. So we're going to bring. We see an example of again. We want to highlight just like we wanted to prove that the word lev refers to heretical heresy. So now we want to show that eyes refers to lustful thoughts. So we have a pasuk in Shoftim by Shimshon. It says, "V'yomer Shimshon Elaviv." So Shimshon said to his father, "Osa kachli, this one take from me, kihi yishara beinai, because she is upright in my eyes." So probably some Philistine woman. I don't know if this is Delilah particularly, but anyway, something that wasn't good for him in the end. Okay. Atam zonim. So atam zonim, that's the last so that zehir avodazara, because again that was the last element we said is kind of one of the good features of vayomer goes against avodazara, right? V'chein ha'omer. So how do you know that zonim refers to avodazara? It says v'yizno achari ha'balim, they straight after the balim. So there we see znus as referred to as idol worship. Okay, mishnah maskirim yitzis balila. So we mentioned yitzis b'shem at night. I'm Elizabeth Nazar. How are you keeping Shem Shana? I'm like I'm 70 years old. And I did not merit to show that you need to say Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night. That Ben Zoma until Ben Zoma found the source for it. Shneimer leman tizkor sim tizkor meyaretz Mitzrayim. In order that you remember the day you left Mitzrayim, kol yimecha yecha, all the days of your life. Yimecha yecha hayamim. So yimecha yecha is daytime. Kol yimecha yecha halelos, and all the days of your life is nighttime. The days of your life is this world. Cold. All the days of love must be Mashiach. Rashi is a couple of important things, right? Because it says we want to know why you have Vayomer, because Tzitzis is not at night, and also He wasn't literally 70, but I mean, let me say that miraculously his hair turned white because he became, when they deposed Rabban Gamliel, he was appointed at the ripe old age of 18. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tanya, Amar lehem ben Zoma lechachamim. So we have a sort of a continuation of the discussion in the Mishnah about whether you have the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. So Ben Zoma said to Chachamim, "Chim askin Yetzias Mitzrayim the Moshe Mashiach." So Chachamim understood that that Kol includes Moshe Mashiach, but is that really true that there's going to be a Yetzias that we're going to even be thinking about that? Or it's kind of going to fade away. We're not going to remember it anymore. But Lokar Nemar, there's a pasuk as follows: Yamim ba'im nu Hashem. Days are coming, says God. V'lo yom ro'od chay Hashem shehelas min Yisrael meir Mitzrayim. So it won't be said anymore by the life of God, or as God lives, who brought Bnei Yisrael from the land of Egypt. Kim Chai Hashem, rather, as lives Hashem, Shehavi Hazera Beis Yisrael, who brought up and brought the house of Israel Meretz Tzfona from the land of the north, and we call Arutz Hashem Yidachtem Sham, and from all the lands that he scattered them there. Okay. So basically, this pasuk clearly—I mean, you read it plainly—it seems to say that there's not going to be any more discussion of Yetzias Mitzrayim once the final geula happens, because it says they will not talk about God as the one who did Yetzias Mitzrayim anymore. So Amar lo, so they responded as follows: Chacham says lo shetek Yetzias Mitzrayim b'mekoma. That doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim at all. Ela shetek Yeshiva Malchus ikur Yetzias Mitzrayim tafelo. Rather, it's to say that the galos from which the final redemption will redeem us from will be the main thing, and Yetzias Mitzrayim will be the sort of secondary. Kids about the Omer, we have a similar example elsewhere as follows: Lo yikashem cha o Yaakov. So Hashem says to Yaakov, you're not going to be called Yaakov anymore. Kim Yisrael Yeshemecha. Rather, your name is going to be Yisrael. But even though it says your name will not be called Yaakov, it means as follows: Lo sheyakir Yaakov umkamo. It's not that that name Yaakov will be removed from its place. Ela Yisrael ikur. Rather, your main name will be Yisrael Yaakov tafelo, and Yaakov will be secondary. Like it says, Al tizkir rishonos. Do not remember the first ones of kadmios altas benenu, and do not contemplate the earlier ones. Al tizkir rishonos is shibud malchios. So do not remember the first ones. That's the sort of the later enslavement or the later oppression of a kadmonios al tizbenenu, and the first ones do not contemplate. Right, zayi tizis shrime. That is the tizis shrime. Okay, so we'll stop there.
It's actually.